that we live in the time of the soon coming of Christ. I believe it because I see around me all of the things that the Bible describes that would take place prior to Christ's second coming. If I was not reading the Bible or the Word of God, I would probably think that tomorrow will be as today, because today was just like yesterday. But my friends, I am not one who will use that type of philosophy to determine my salvation. I am one who will go directly to the Word of God. I will let God communicate to my soul and open to my mind and heart that indeed we do live in the last days, and indeed the possibility surely exists that we will see Christ come in the clouds of heaven very soon. Peter, in contemplating the days just prior to Christ's coming, said this in 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 9. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words that were spoken when? The words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first. And then what does he say? That scoffers will come when? In the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Today is like yesterday. Tomorrow will be like today, and the day after tomorrow will be like tomorrow. But Peter is calling God's people back to the words that were spoken when? The words that were spoken before. In other words, he is saying, do not forget the Word of God. If you forget the Word of God, you may be among that group who is saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. Don't be found among the group not studying the Word of God, because if you're found among that group, you'll be scoffing at the idea that Christ will soon come in the clouds of heaven to take his people home. Be found among the group that is studying the Word spoken before. Be found among that group. If you are studying the Word of God with an open mind and with a clear conscience, asking for the Holy Spirit to illuminate your thinking, you will have no doubt in your mind that Christ will soon come, and you will not be found among the scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. I want to tell you this morning that the scoffers, they're not people out in the world. They're not people out in the world who have no knowledge of God. This is a specific class of individuals. They walk, number one, according to their own desires. Number two, they certainly understand that Christ will come, do they not? Because they say, where is the promise of what? His coming. They understand that he will come. They also understand that when one dies, they go where? They go straight down into the grave where they remain asleep until they partake in one of two resurrections. Because they say, for since the fathers fell asleep. And then they go on and say, all things continue as they were since the beginning of what? Creation. This isn't just any group. This is a specific group. This is a group who walks according to its own lust, number one. This is a group who understands that Christ will come the second time in the clouds of heaven, number two. This is a group who understands that when one dies, they go to sleep and they remain in the grave until one of two resurrections. And this is a group who does not believe in the theory of evolution but believes in the theory of creation. This is a religious group. This is a group who intellectually understands certain principles and teachings of the Word of God, but walks according to their own fleshly desires. God is calling us all back to His Word. He's letting us know that His coming will soon take place, and He's calling us back to His Word. If we build our foundation on anything else, we will not be prepared when He comes. Our foundation, our beliefs, our transformation, are bringing our life into harmony with the will of God, all must be founded upon Christ and the Bible. Otherwise, we build on another foundation, and when the floods come, what will happen? It will be wiped out. The Bible continues and says, for this they're not ignorant of, it says, this they willfully what? Forget. Doesn't say they're ignorant because they're not ignorant. It says this they willfully forget. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. What's it referring to? Referring to the flood. When God shut that door, what happened? That door remained shut. And 7 days later, what happened? At the word of God, the rain came down, even though there'd never been rain before. The heavens and the earth which now exist, my friends, are kept in store by the same word. In other words, when God gives the word, what's going to happen? It will happen. It will come to pass. They reserve for fire until the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. Remember this. If you remember anything, remember this. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What is Peter saying? He's saying time in your thinking is not according to time in whose? In God's thinking. God understands something which you and I tend to forget. And in His love and in His mercy, He tries to reveal this fact to us. And the fact is this, that God understands that only those who have prepared themselves through time will be prepared for His coming. God understands the fact that human beings tend to think that they can wait till a certain point in time or till a certain thing happens and then use that happening to drive them to Him, thinking that when that time comes and when they do that, they will be what? Ready. God understands that that's not possible. That's why he says 1,000 years in his sight is as what? A day. And a day as 1,000 years. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. In other words, that group of scoffers is saying what? Where is the promise of his coming? They are claiming a disbelief in what? In the Word of God, that God said something and yet he hasn't what? He hasn't fulfilled it. They're claiming disbelief in the Word of God. God is not slack as relates to that concept. He is slack because he's not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. I believe that whatever God said, it will come to pass. The Bible tells me all the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen. To the glory of God through us. The promises of God will come to pass. And we should not be found among that group who disbelieve that Christ will soon come. We should be found among that group who believes that he's going to come and going to come soon. And due to that fact, we are making the necessary preparations in our own hearts and in the lives of those around us to be prepared for that great event. You can believe in creation. You can believe that when one dies, they go to sleep. You can believe in the second coming of Christ, yet you can still be found among that group who disbelieves the word of God and says, where is the promise of his coming? I'd like to take a few stories of the Bible to illustrate the importance of the belief that Jesus will soon come. The first story is found in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, we're going to read verses 12 and following. To give a little background, two angels have come to the city of Sodom. And Lot has welcomed these two angels into his house. And in fact, Lot provided a refuge, did he not? For these two angels. What was God going to do to the city of Sodom? He's going to destroy it by fire because of the wickedness within it, was he not? So these two angels come, and they end up in the house of Lot. And the men in verse 12, this is what they say to Lot. Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. Now when they said that, I can't picture them just saying, you know, guess what? Now if you have anyone else hanging around here, you may want to casually walk out of the city. In fact, you may want to take your time. But just make sure that you get out. That's not the way they said it. Those two angels knew what God was going to do. They came with a warning and they told Lot, get out of this place. And then in verse 13 it says, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So what does Lot do? He went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Could it be that the sons-in-law they're like that class who lives just prior to Christ's coming, who say, "Where is the promise of what? His coming?" A disbelief in the Word of God. Was this the Word of Lot, or was it the Word of God? It was the Word of God communicated through Lot. It was not just the Word of Lot. It was the Word of God. But you see, to the sons-in-law, he just seemed to be joking. Verse 15, it says, "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry." What did they do? The Bible says they urged him. They went to him and they said, "Get out! And get out now! And as you go, get out in a hurry. Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Then the Bible says that Lot did what? He lingered. The angel has spoken to him how many times? Twice. First time he said, "God is going to destroy this place, get out of here." Then the second time, the angel said that the Lord had sent them to destroy this place. They stayed there all through the night. No hurry to get out. When morning dawned, still no hurry. So the angel comes. And what does that angel do? Urges Lot to hurry, and he says, "Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought them out and set them outside the city. The angels actually had to do what? They had to grab that whole family by the hand and yank them out. Because they lingered. And we all know what happened. They were all taken out. Lot's wife did what? Looked back, became a pillar of salt. Why did that happen? Because God specifically said to them, "Don't look back." What happens when you disobey the Word of God? How does this relate to the second coming of Christ? Verse 17 of Genesis 19, "It came to pass when they brought them outside that he said, 'Escape for your life. Run for your life. Get out of this place. Don't look behind you. Don't stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed.'" Did you know that God is calling a people out of this world? Just as he called Lot out of that city, God is calling a people out of this world. And we are not to look behind us. We are to look forward. We are to fix our eyes on Christ. We are to look to the Word of God. And we are to run for our lives. And we are not ever to look back. We are not to linger. We are not to think that it's way down the road. angels are in our midst this morning as they were with Lot. And their desire is to take hold of all of our hands and pull us out of this world, sanctify us, bring our lives into harmony with the will of God. And they are saying to us, run for your life. Obey the word of the living God, who testifies to the fact that Jesus will soon come. Don't linger. Don't think it's way down the road. In Acts chapter 24, verses 22 to 25, we read about Felix, to whom Paul witnessed. Acts 24, 22 to 25, it says, when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Can someone tell me this morning when that convenient time came? It never came. God was communicating to Felix right then and there on that spot, and God wanted him to do what? Did he want him to wait for a convenient time to make his commitment? No, he wanted him to make his commitment right then and there to the word of the living God. When we put off anything to which God is communicating to us at a specific point in time, we are in danger of losing our salvation. And the one thing which I find that many of us are putting off is the second coming of Christ. We are not to put it off. We are not to look for a convenient time in which to prepare and accept Christ's salvation. We are to accept it right now. We are to accept His salvation now as He presents it to us in the Word of God, and we are to prepare ourselves for that day when Jesus comes. We are not to put it off. We must especially not put off the second coming of Christ. You see, because when we begin to put it off, do you know what we begin also to do? We begin also to put off the preparation necessary for the event. But if we live and believe that Christ will come tomorrow, or that He will come very soon, then we also will be what? Preparing for the coming. Let us not put off any truth of the Word of God. Let us not be like Felix, who desired a convenient time and a convenient surrounding to accept what the Bible declared to him as truth. Let us accept it Let us believe it and let us act upon it right now. No, I like a man in the Bible who's a short man. I don't like him because he's short. But I like the story of the man who was short. Because that man illustrates something to me which I need. Everyone knows the man called Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, we learn a great lesson from this man. Jesus was passing through Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. But he could not see because there was a crowd, and the crowd was taller than he was. He was a short man. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see him. He was too short. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see him every day? Not only every day, do you want to see him when he comes again? I will tell you that the devil will throw every obstacle in your path to get you unprepared for that event, to see Jesus. He had obstacles all in the path of Zacchaeus. In fact, he had an inherited obstacle. He was too short. Obstacles. He couldn't see Jesus. But in the heart of Zacchaeus was a desire to see Jesus, and there was no obstacle, not one, that would get in his way from seeing Jesus. We should be the same way as we're looking for him to come in the clouds of heaven. He was short, but he's not going to let that get in his way of seeing Jesus. And in verse 4 of Luke 19, it says, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Did he walk? Didn't walk. Do you think he jogged? A jog is like a half of a run. The Bible says he did what? He ran. And he climbed up a tree because he would not let any obstacle get in the way of him seeing Jesus. And when Jesus went by, what did Jesus do? He looked up, he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now he told him to do what? Make haste. He said, Zacchaeus, take your time coming down. Now I'd like to come to your house today, but I got a lot to do, so take your time when I'm done everything I have to do. Come on down and we'll get together and we'll spend time together. Jesus said, make haste and get down, for today I'm coming to your house. And what did Zacchaeus do? Verse 6. So he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. Do you see the second coming in this story? I do. I see you and I, like Zacchaeus. Obstacles placed all around us, preventing us in our mind's eye from seeing Jesus come soon in the clouds of heaven. Inherited obstacles, obstacles that are cultivated, obstacles that Satan puts in our way to prevent us in our mind's eye from seeing that event take place in our day. But when I see that, I say to myself, what God is looking for, he's looking for a church who's not worried about the obstacle. He's looking for a church who climbs up the tree and gets beyond the obstacle and sees in their mind's eye Jesus soon coming in the clouds of heaven. And do you know that when we do that, when he does come, we're going to receive him just like Zacchaeus received him. We're going to receive him how? Joyfully. Isn't that how you want to receive Jesus when he comes again in the clouds of heaven? That's how I want to receive him. I want to be happy. In fact, if I was sad, I wouldn't be happy in the place he's going to take me to. So I might as well be happy. I might as well look forward to that event with joy. And with all my energy, with everything that is within me, I am going to climb that tree. I will not be among that class saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" I will not study theology of this man, and this man. I will study the word of the living God. I will be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I will go and believe as God directs me and instructs me. I will let nothing come in the way of me climbing that tree, because I want to live to see Jesus come. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. Verses 53 to 56. Interesting story. Mark 6, 53 to 56. When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, anchored there. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. And then what does the Bible say they did? They ran through the whole surrounding region. Did they walk? Did they jog? They ran through the whole surrounding region. They began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, begged him that he might touch, that they might touch the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made well. What a story. If you live in the time of Christ and you witnessed his coming to a certain place, would you run throughout the whole surrounding region to carry those who were sick into his presence? What a story! They're not only running to prepare themselves for the presence of Christ, but they're running to get others to bring them into that same presence. Yes, we're called to run with the Word of God, but we're also called to run to bring others to the same Word. And a true Christian will do both. In fact, those who are ready for Christ's second coming, those to whom Christ will take to heaven, will be those who do both. They're prepared, and they're preparing others. I'm going to close by reading Ezekiel chapter 12. Starting in verse 21. Ezekiel 12, starting in verse 21 down to verse 28, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are what? Prolonged. Every vision fails." Who was saying that? The people. "Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to lay this proverb to rest. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. I am the Lord, I speak, the word which I speak will come to pass." It will no more be postponed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word in performance as the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many days from now. He prophesies of times afar off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Are we like the children of Israel? We sang, the days are prolonged, every vision fails. Is God saying, I will postpone this no longer, but in your days it will come to pass? John the Baptist came preaching a certain message. He said the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. When Jesus preached, he gave a certain message. The message was the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. God would have a people who preach the same message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I use the word preach, I do not mean just by word of mouth, but I mean in how we act, how we treat one another, how we live, how we speak. Everything should testify to the fact that we believe the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand. John the Revelator said, even so come, Lord Jesus, I pray that everyone here today, with all of their heart, all of their might, all of their soul, all that is within them, I pray that they look forward to the soon coming of Christ. And I pray that all of us as God's people will come together in unity and harmony around the Word of God and make the necessary preparations for ourselves, for our families, and for we as God's people, and then carrying this message to those in our community. I pray that we'll come together, that all of that would come to pass as we seek to do God's will. And when it does, do you know what will happen? Jesus will come. Amen.